Hey, greetings everyone. It is Brother Tupos.
And Sister Ramen here too.
Sister Ramen is here too.
I am, and we're hoping you're all doing well tonight.
Yeah, I hope you're doing well. We got another day given to us by the Lord of Creation. We're so thankful for that. Every day is a gift.
It is.
And we had a restful but busy day. No travel today.
But it was
just down
busy,
the road a ways.
Yeah.
We had to run some errands, and then we went to a park not far away from our park spot, and we worked all day online. We had a lot of ministry to get caught up on.
Yeah, okay.
Did we get caught up, kind of, Sister? I mean, not fully.
Yeah, we're getting there. So you know what? I'm learning to be thankful for what we can do.
We did get day one of our street preach, Sin on a Hill. I call it Sin on a Hill, City on a Hill Music Fest. So we put the link up. Check that out.
Click the button up there and you'll go right to it.
A whole bunch of video, way more audio, and you'll hear a lot of teaching, edification, rebuking, correcting. You'll hear seekers, you'll hear witnessing, you'll hear entreating. So you'll hear mockery, you'll hear a little bit of everything. And that's pretty much what you see when you go out and do street ministry.
Yeah,
so we're not lying, we're telling you the truth.
Right, yeah. So by hearing all of that and seeing it, maybe that will help you, you know, in your own ministry that you have.
Yeah.
You know, what you're doing, what the Lord has for you to do.
Absolutely. So, today we're sitting in a park. I decided to put my gospel signs, our gospel signs on. Didn't expect much activity. It's a little tiny park.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sister Amen, what happened? Who walked up?
A woman pulled up in the car. I'm not sure she was there for the park. She must have been driving by and saw the signs
I think
or something.
So.
She was like, she got out and she was kind of, we could tell she had an aggressive nature about her.
Ooh, very aggressive.
And it came out as.
And she was very, very, very worldly looking.
Oh, super worldly. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, maybe you want to share with them how that went.
Well, she just started saying, oh yeah, that's good, you're preaching the gospel. And then when I tried to go to the gospel with her, she got very, very self-righteous and said, I've been a Christian for 40 years, I don't know, you need to hear about the gospel. And we're like,
yeah, she was like saying, how long have you been?
Yeah. And I was like, wow. And the first thing I thought of, you know, saints, when you run across people that won't go over the gospel or aren't interested in doctrines or being tested, I want to remind you of something. Go read Acts 17, mm-hmm. one of my favorite areas of scripture.
Yeah.
And go read about the prothumia. I love that.
Yeah.
The readiness of mind of the Bereans that Paul praised. And why did he praise them, Sister Amen?
Because they tested him.
They tested Paul to every word of doctrine in scripture. Yet we meet these people constantly that are so prideful, so self-righteous, so angry, so pompous, that we can't even test their gospel, test their doctrine. This lady got all upset. She started spouting off about dangers of the jab, the COVID jab, dangers of the Masonic Lodge. Her husband, I asked if she had a husband. He's evil and wicked and owns half the town.
Yeah, something like that.
And I tried to take her back to doctrine. And at that time, a man walked up. And he was standing there listening. And I tried to take her back to doctrine. And she got all mad. She stuck the gospel card back in Sister Amen's hand. And she stormed off.
Yeah, she got her car and took right off.
And I say good riddance, because I think this woman either had a demon.
Oh.
Or she had something going on. Because she was like, oh, she was so uppity, she was almost vibrating. Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
She was like moving her body and
super
shaking
aggressive.
Around. And
oh, yeah.
I think there was some.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah, some kind of demonic oppression. So that's how you root out someone like that. If they don't want to go over the gospel, if they don't want to talk doctrine, if they get all like that, it's time for them to go.
Right.
And if she didn't go, I was about ready to turn away from her.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So
we
then.
To a certain point. Yeah.
Then. She gets in her car and drives away, and this man is standing there watching her, and I assumed he was with her, and all of a sudden I said, can I help? He's standing right by our van. I said, can I help you, sir? And he goes, nope, just listening. Well, that conversation's over. And I said, can I give you a gospel card? He goes, nope, not interested. And I said, okay. And what'd we do, Sister Amen?
We started walking away, and he said, so how effective is it when people walk away from you when you're preaching?
So he didn't want a gospel card, and then he shoots out that, oh, I'll tell you, we're going to talk about this. How effective is your witnessing ways?
Yep.
This is such a common, lame question we get.
All the time.
And we heard it a lot this weekend at the preach.
I know, I can't even count.
Acts 5:29. Then Peter said to the other apostles and answered and said, I think we ought to obey God rather than man. These people constantly think that the gospel, how we present it, should always please people, should always draw people, should always make a convert according to their standards. Yet if we do that, are we pleasing God or are we pleasing men, Sister Amen?
Well, if we're changing it, yeah, we're going to be pleasing man,
yeah,
which we don't want to do.
So what this proves is they have a corrupt gospel. Why? They're always aiming to tickle people's itchy ears, to draw them in, to fill up buildings, to put another notch in their little evangelism book. I got guys walking around going, I saved 27 people this month.
Yeah, I know.
As if they save anybody.
How many have you saved?
Yeah, and then they fill up buildings, but they're not fully obeying God in their lives. 1 Thess 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which hath tried our hearts. I love that.
Yeah.
We don't please men with the gospel.
No.
The only people that come to the gospel are people that have prothumia, ears to hear. The Holy Spirit pricks their conscience. The Father calls them and they answer. Not mockers, not self-righteous people, not religious people, not contentious people, not worldly people that love their sin. And 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel.
Right, I love that.
So I had to preach the gospel to that lady. I do it with everybody. And whoever won't stand and listen and receive the gospel, Jesus says, let your peace not be upon them.
Right.
Don't let it rest on them.
Nope.
Meaning turn away from them. Don't wish them Godspeed. You know, John says about false teachers or antichrist spirits. And so that's what happened there. And Jesus said this, Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. That's what they do. How good is your gospel luring people in, making mm-hmm. them happy? But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God.
Yeah, it is.
So we had to, we constantly deal with that, and we tell people, go ask Noah about popularity evangelism.
Right.
Noah only got on the boat with his family. No one else made it.
Yeah, and go ask Eve about ear-tickling messages.
Yep, ear-tickling messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then go ask Jesus when he said, will there be any faith left on earth when I return? Luke 18:8.
Right, I love it out on the streets when people say, well, you're so hard or you're so harsh. And then if you ask them, well, was Jesus? Yeah. What about John the Baptist? Yeah. Paul? Yeah. Peter? Yeah. But still, they say, yeah, but
because they're always so man-centered.
Yeah, they sit there and admit it, but then they twist it and try to turn it into something else.
Yeah, and they say we preach against sin, and then we ask them, how many sins does it take to get put out of the kingdom? How many sins does it take to get put out of the garden? They all go one.
But what's wrong with this place?
But yet they love to hide in their sin. Yeah, so
exactly.
So we preach Christ crucified to please God and to call men to repentance.
Amen.
And to be holy. It's not a popular message, but it is biblical. It's loving. It's godly, and we will never, ever, ever be man-pleasers. I've been through enough people that wanted to be man-pleasers, tried to make me a man-pleaser. Never going to happen as long as there's life and breath in my body.
Right.
I will never be a man-pleaser, and my house will never be a man-pleaser.
No,
I will never be united to people that are man-pleasers.
Nope. Me either.
Not
you have to
whatsoever.
Cut my tongue out first, and
yeah.
I still won't.
So I want to give you a real quick tip. Sister, I'm going to ask you what's on your mind in a minute, so you get ready.
Right.
The man, I walked away from him, and then I told Sister Amen, you go in the van. She went in the van to go do something. I walked away from the van and sat down under a picnic table. He followed me.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked up and he said, so let's talk about this, what you're doing, this ministry. And I started my video phone and I put it right on him, my camera. And I said, sir, I said, this is a public place. I'm sitting here in peace and quiet. I said, I don't want to talk to you. You need to go away. And he goes, oh, well, don't you want to talk about the gospel? And then he said, maybe I want a gospel card now. Can I have a gospel card? I said, sir, I said, I think you need to just go away. So I got up. He sat on the picnic table where I was. I moved over to a bench 100 feet away. he's sitting there talking to himself out loud so I could hear, well, what about Romans 3:23? And what about Romans 6:26 or 6:23, I think he said. He was quoting some scriptures from Romans, the Romans Road. It's their easy believe gospel, grace alone, faith alone. And I ignored him. And then Sister Amen texted me and I walked back by Sister Amen and he eventually went away. But what I want to share with you real quick, I didn't have to do it with him. People like him that won't take a gospel card, don't entertain them long. Mm-mm. Tell them, you know what? You don't want a gospel card. I guess you don't want truth. I don't talk to people who don't want truth. If they keep pushing you, I just told a brother today, what you need to do is stop it short and say, tell you what, take this to email. Email don'tperish@outlook.com and we could talk there. So give them my email. You can give anybody my email. Email don'tperish@outlook.com and we'll talk to you about it there. I don't want to talk and turn and walk away from them because you're not going to change a mocker's mind and heart in the streets. And unless you really experience what's going to happen is they're going to chew on you. They're going to pick at you. They're going to intimidate you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to waste your time. Make sure, especially if you're a newer saint, don't go along with mockers. Walk away. And if they follow you, you need to turn around, turn your phone video camera on and say, you're not following me. You're harassing me. Please go away.
Yep.
And so you got to be real staunch about that. So that's my tip for you, dealing with people in the streets. That, you know, I get these people that follow me, and they get in my face, and they say, you got to demand an answer. I demand an answer, and I'm like, who are you to demand an answer from anyone? I don't owe you any kind of answer, sir.
Yeah, I know. We get that all the time. Well, you're out here. How come you won't talk to me? And I've shared with women, you know, I've talked to them to a certain point till they're determined to be a mocker or clinging to sin.
Yeah.
And then I tell them, you know what? Tell you what, let's bring it to email. I'd be happy to email if you bring scriptures. But they never email.
Yeah, it's hard to mock over email. Easy to mock in front of your face. That's why we do that.
They want to pick.
And we can choose who we talk to and who we don't. Jesus did, Paul did, Peter did, John the Baptist did.
Yeah, we get freedom of speech, and we also have freedom of silence if we want it.
Freedom of silence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go away. Go away. So that's my tip for you when you're in the street. Sister Amen, what's on your heart today?
Oh, well.
Because I got some heavy topics to bring up after this.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about, you know, the other day I read in Revelation about heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And how awesome that's going to be.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we were thinking, what did we see? We were talking about it the other day. Somebody was like, what did they have on their car or a shirt? Something about fishing in heaven.
Yeah. It was on the back of a pickup truck. The guy said, I can't wait for eternal fishing in heaven.
Yeah, and we were thinking, you know, a lot of people are, when they think of heaven, that obviously it's totally skewed and it's wrong. They're like, it's going to be a party and they're going to be sitting around with their relatives. Like they think heaven's going to be a replication of earth, only without anything bad in it.
Yeah, fleshly carnal.
Yeah,
they're fleshly carnal whims.
Yeah, and so I was just going to share a couple verses showing the total opposite of it. It's going to be all about God, Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, it's all going to be about the Savior and his glory and eternity.
Exactly.
It ain't going to be fishing, hunting, and football.
Right, and who's not going to be there? Revelation 21:27. All these people who think that heaven is going to be like that, they're not going to be there. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
What verse was that?
That was Revelation 21:27.
Yeah, you know, you say that. At our preach, I think the first day, a man was defending football, and I looked him in the eye and I said, you think there's going to be football in heaven?
Yeah.
And he looked at me with the dumbest look on his face. No one's ever asked him that. And he's probably going, well, of course there's not going to be football in heaven. And then he's probably thinking, well, I want to go to heaven. Why would I love football here?
Right.
Foolishness.
A disconnect.
Yeah, total disconnect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just thought I would share that.
Nice. Good thought. Yeah. We should be about the things on earth that we would be seeking to be about in heaven.
Amen. We're being prepared for it.
Yeah.
We should be anyway.
Amen. And our life here is supposed to be about good works.
Amen. Yeah. I love good works.
Yeah.
And so, feel and love and joy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about two kind of heavy topics. First one, false repentance. Yeah, today I had to send an email reply that was part of what I worked on for ministry, among a bunch of other things, to a man who was once a close brother. He's not anymore. Over his need for repentance on a certain topic. I'm not going into all the specifics. John the Baptist talked of fruit from repentance. Ready? Matthew 3:8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. So I want to talk about how we saints walking in the true gospel, we have to learn to rightly discern the true fruit of repentance in others. Yeah, we got to do it in ourselves, but that should be easier because we know our own heart. We know our own thoughts. We know our own actions. If we're really false, we really can know that. We're lying to ourselves if we don't. Right. But this is about other people. And in this situation, the only details I'm going to give here was for many months, there was no repentance back to the people that were betrayed after it was made known to them this sin happened. But recently, an email was sent, and within, was it 24 hours?
I think so.
Three men came to a sudden repentance because this email was sent that called them out of their hypocrisy and they're claiming to be of God and they love each other and they're doing ministry. And the email went out and all of a sudden three men found repentance instantly and they sent an email with some feigned words, I'm going to say, because of the fruit that I'm seeing. And I just want to say, this seemed really suspect to me. So I decided to think about it. And I asked a brother, and I said, I'm going to share the details with you. And this brother looked at it, and you know what this brother said to me? Never met these men, never communicated with them, gave them all the facts, told them to be totally impartial. He said, none of them appear to be of the one true body I know. I was like, my jaw almost dropped. And then he said, they seem like they're acting in the flesh, not of the spirit. And it was like, wow, he's kind of a man of few words. And it was like, wow, well said. And again, he never met him, never spoke to him, but he pegged these people exactly. Fleshly, novice, carnal, partial men that flocked together in their sin and never repented of it until they're called out, kind of like the police knocking on the door, and that's when the criminals go, whoa, yeah, yeah, we did it, we surrender. But they didn't surrender till the police show up because they don't have right hearts until they're caught.
Yep.
And so oftentimes, this I want to share with you, wicked people, that means sinful people, they'll feign repentance, to woo a wife back. Have we seen that, Sister Amen?
Mm-hmm.
How about to spare themselves from being separated outside of a body?
Yep.
Maybe to not lose a job?
Yep.
In this case, I believe the feigning of repentance is going on to deceive a young novice man to stay in their ranks so they all can birds of a feather flock together. I'm just going to say it that way. And so I want to just warn you, watch out in other people. Obviously in ourselves, we judge ourselves the hardest. But in other people that you might be associated with, watch out for false repentance. Because Satan's workers, yep, Satan works through people, are going to use it to deceive. They do. I've seen it many times. We're seeing it here. My master said this in Matthew 7. You say, how do you know? How do you know, Brother Tupos? My master said this, Matthew 7:16-18. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That's what I'm seeing here out of these men. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So, one thing I want to say about this, watch out for just words. And watch out for things that are nothing less than actual fruits. We see a lot of lip service Christianity. We saw it at our preach all weekend. We see a lot of words. We see people throw scriptures at you.
Yep.
That is not necessarily fruit, is it, Sister Amen?
No, and it's pretty telling when you read, a good tree cannot produce the bad fruit.
Yep.
You know, sometimes in our flesh, and I'll just say to sisters, you know, being maybe softer, more emotional, we might be swayed a little bit more. Look at Eve. And we got to remember that a good tree is not going to produce bad fruit.
Yep.
If something bad does come out of a good tree, it's going to be quick repentance, and you'll see a track history and a record of good fruit.
Yes.
And that will be the abnormal thing.
Yes.
But if you see something that has troublesome, and then you see some good in there and troublesome, then you really got to be aware. So, yeah, it is kind of pretty much black and white.
It is.
But the problem is we get in our flesh and we want to overlook
things. Yep, because we do love and we do want to forgive and we want to have unity of the brethren if it's possible, but you have to watch out. And I like what you just said, track record. With these people, we've seen a track record of lies, deceit, pride, envy, contention, backbiting, betrayal, Judas ways, and when that happens over and over, but with the same people.
Yeah.
Oh, I repent of that. Then they do it again. I repent of that. They do it again. I think this one of these men said something that was telling, and he said against his own self. He said a man once told him, if you keep repenting and doing the same thing, what did he say? I forget exactly how he said it. If you keep repenting and doing the same thing, you're just getting good at saying, I'm sorry. I think that's what he said. Wow. Does that expose them? Because the fruit doesn't change. But the lip stuff changes. So I just wanted to bring that up to you saints and any seekers, you need to repent and obey the gospel, be born from above. But you saints listening, watch out for people that have feigned repentance, fake repentance, that you go, well, they say they're sorry and I see a little bit, but I don't know. It seems kind of lacking. You know them by their fruit. And if they do it over and over and over, that's not the Holy Spirit.
Right, and fellowship idolatry is a sin
because
you're choosing fellowship over the truth.
Yeah, and partiality, which is what's going on here.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather flocking together. A bunch of novice men that like to be soft on each other over sin, like to flock together with each other, and they turn on the person that says, hey, I think we need to do it better this way for the Lord's glory. And they go, how do we get rid of him?
And whose glory is it for then?
Yeah, exactly.
Themselves, not God.
And so the other topic, false repentance, I want to talk about false brethren. Paul spoke of false brethren. It proves that they do lurk about. 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, look at this audience here, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul had to deal with it. Men can come in, appear to be brothers, might even have some fruit. Jesus talked about, though, in John 15, you will have much fruit. And I will tell you, a man that used to have apple trees and used to have grapevines, that good vines and good trees always produce good fruit on a regular basis. Not just once in a while. So watch out for that. And Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. They deceived them. They came in unaware. They didn't let them in on purpose. Who came in privily to spot out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. This was the Jews sneaking in, probably pretending to be, oh, we want to follow Jesus. And they come bringing Torah law back in. So just encouraging you saints, as you deal with people, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. That gentle as doves, that's Jesus' command to us. And as I told these men, the one man in particular who I communicated with recently, they may have good words, they may quote some scripture, they may say, oh, we're sorry, but fruit they bring is suspect. And by testing the fruit and looking at the history and seeing the actual total outcome of it. Don't just look at one event. Don't just look at words. Don't look at a few scriptures. Look at the big picture. You look at an apple tree. Let me give you an example. You look at an apple tree. If you get real close and you look and you go, hey, look, there's three apples, and you're real close to the tree, what happens, Sister Amin, if you walk real far back and go, let's look at the whole tree?
Yeah, right.
Now you see there's only three apples on the whole tree. That's a problem. It's probably going to get cut down and thrown into the fire. So be careful. Watch out as you're out there in the world, or if you ever run into people and seek fellowship. Watch out for those that are false, corrupt, wicked, lying, deceitful, unloving, partial, backstabbing, Judas-like, corrupt men. They're out there.
Judas was right with them.
Judas was right with them. That's there as a model for us to watch out. Judas actually had some good fruit, didn't he? Followed Jesus all that time.
Yep.
So watch out for that. And I want to say I rejoice that God's truth and his spirit allows us, me as a leader of my home, to discern, to protect my house, protect my wife, protect the brethren we know, and we really cherish true brethren, from the leaven of these kind of men. I've right. learned a lot about the leaven of these kind of men.
Oh, yeah.
That I see it over and over. And you think, oh, they learned their lesson, and they come back and you go, no, they didn't.
Mm-mm.
They're the same way. They're deceitful, two-faced, all those kind of things. Watch out for that. And the Bible talks about them, wells without water. And as time goes on, lest people show true repentance and a track record, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen, and my heart breaks because I want none to perish, but their lives are going to end up reeking. Their lives and their ministry are going to end up reeking from the stench that really is inside their heart. I have to put it that way.
Yeah.
They can hide it as long as they want, but eventually, time will root them out, and I'm thankful to the Father that he gives us a discernment to see through that. So I hope and pray that they truly do repent, not this feigned fake repentance. I hope that they, like Paul, say, test myself, lest I could be a reprobate. I'm always testing myself. I'm harder on myself and my home than anyone, but then I'm hard on brethren, and then I'm hard on people who name the name of Christ, and the world, we just preach the gospel to them.
Yeah.
So that's the level and order of our judging. So for true brethren that don't betray, but at times they fall into error, we can fall into error. What I love when you see the Holy Spirit work in people, guess what? They repent. Is this true, Sister Drummond? They repent of their own conscience in a timely manner, not being forced to repentance or waiting weeks and months when something could be fixed relatively quickly. When Jesus said, if you have aught with your brother, or we could say sister, go and fix it. If it takes months to do that and you're claiming to be a Christian, there's a big problem.
You don't have love of God in you.
You don't have love of God. You don't have love of the brethren.
Right.
And that's what sneaky false snakes do, like Satan in the garden.
And confusion.
Yeah. And I have a whole article on this. Talk about the accuser of the brethren. People love to throw that around. The accuser of the brethren lies. And those people that spread lies, those are the people that are working for the accuser of the brethren. When you rebuke somebody against the truth, you're not an accuser of the brethren. How foolish. Paul tells us to publicly rebuke men in 1 Timothy 5. It's those false brethren that try to feign false repentance that go around and lie about people and then do what Satan did in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does God's word really say that? Oh, you're the accuser of the brethren when they're hiding in their sin. But the word of God always roots it out. And hold fast to the truth, saints. That's what I want to kind of finish out with here. The truth of God always sets us free. John 8:32. I know it's one of Sister Armin's favorite verses. Ye shall know the truth. You could say you know them by the truth too.
Yep.
And the truth shall make you free.
Does
that all make sense, Sister Armin?
I love it.
Yeah.
We come through this. The truth.
Yeah, we come through this and, you know, battle scarred, get stuff thrown at us, names called, they shoot at us, they threaten, they do all kinds of stuff, either mockers, false brethren, whatever. We always come out. After these preaches, after these relationships with people, we always come out better than we went in, more excited for God's glory, more focused on the truth, loving the true brethren more. None of this hurts us, pushes us back, discourages us.
Nope.
Because our eyes are on Christ.
Right. We fight right through it.
Yeah. And we encourage you. Yeah. We encourage you to do that also. I almost forgot. Good news. After I talk about that heavy topic, we got another email today.
We did. Yeah.
From who?
Exciting.
Yeah.
One of the other young couples that we spoke to for well over an hour and a half. And then the next day, they stopped by. We were both Brother Two Post and I were busy witnessing in two different. He was witnessing to some people and I was witnessing.
Yeah, we had like 20 or 30 people stand in front of us. They stopped.
Yeah, and we didn't get to chat with them because we were witnessing, but they did send us an email after that. Thank us, said seeds were planted.
Yep, and they said, they thanked for the time, thanked us for the time. They thanked us for all the seeds. They're pondering it all. And we'll see where that goes. Who knows? We might be Bible studying with them or be working towards unity with them. Who knows? So that was exciting.
Yeah.
Because that was the second couple from this one preach that emailed and reached out to us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, we're rejoicing in that. So lots of fruit from that one preach that we did, Sister Amen.
Oh yeah, that's why we go. More work to put the next one up with some good witnessing on that as well. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So what's what else from you today, Sister Amen?
Well, you know, this is interesting. I was just thinking, I just made a quick note and I thought wisdom. I thought, you know, I'm just going to share some wisdom with sisters. And you know what? I didn't know what you were going to talk about, the heavy topics.
Yeah.
You didn't know this.
We never share. Yeah, we don't share what topics and scriptures. We just both prepare for this, and then it seems like the Lord always brings it together.
Yeah, so here it is. Romans 12, 19 and 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
And we dealt with a lot of evil. We deal with a lot of evil all the time. Yeah. And like Brother Tupos was just talking about this. There were a lot of evil went on, and you know, we want to love our enemies. Do not become overcome with that evil, which would be, you know, don't be all worn down, sisters, and discouraged and stuff. Right. You know, you got to keep pressing through and overcome evil with good. And that good may be, if you can't even, you know, love your enemies face to face or whatever, have to, that overcoming evil with good would be just getting up and striving on after the Lord.
Right. And I want to make one addition to what you said. We get a lot of people saying this when they read those verses about loving your enemy, doing good. They say, well, with the brethren you disagree with or brethren you have problems, you should just love them and do good to them. Mm. No. The Bible doesn't say that. The enemies Jesus is talking about are not the brethren that need discipline, that need to be rejected, that need to be sent away. The enemies he's talking about are non-believers. That's the enemies Jesus is talking about. Because the Bible tells us with believers that are in sin to rebuke them, mark them, avoid them if they don't repent, and put them out of the body. So we have to watch out for that. And I like what Sister Amen just said. Like when we go out and preach, and you see us preaching, and maybe I have to put down a mocker and tell them just go away, and or they get in my face and I say, sir, just go away, I'm just going to preach. By me not getting angry with them, by me not hitting them with my sign, by me not calling them wicked names, by me not doing anything evil, and me just preaching, I am doing good to them.
Right.
And so we need to keep that in mind, that how we do good is we preach the gospel, we live a righteous life, we live holy. Yeah, we avoid mockers. Yeah, we tell enemies to go on their way. If I saw my enemy, and let me give you an example. If I was driving down the street and the man that was just mocking at me, if I saw him on fire or in need or even maybe stuck by the road, I might stop and say, are you okay? Can I help you? That would be doing good to your enemy. But it's not to the false brethren or to the brethren that are in sin. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. There are some situations like if a woman's married to a false brethren, she can't totally avoid. And by her holy, godly, pure actions, it may heap coals on the head.
Right. A marriage, woman married to an unbeliever is like a whole different level.
Yeah,
she can't separate from him completely.
Or those who are like an older woman who is raised by or taken care of younger people, people taken care of by older people.
Yeah.
That would be the like abnormal.
Yeah.
So by your godly, holy life, you would end up heaping coals on them.
Right.
You know, so
Wanted to cover that main thing, though, because the reason I say that is they say, well, if you're supposed to love your enemies, why don't you just love us and quit telling us to repent? And I go, that's not how it works. You're claiming to be of Christ.
Right.
I need to call you to repentance. If you're not of Christ, I'm going to preach the gospel to you. And that's how I love you. So I either love you because I rebuke you or I preach the gospel if you're not a believer.
Right.
That's how we love and do good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, those are good scripture verses right there.
Good wisdom.
Yeah,
good
amen.
Reminders,
amen.
That's all.
So, my last thought is tonight, a brother and I were talking about covenants on the phone. We had a conversation and we were pondering how the old to the new covenants, if you really look at them, aren't a lot different from each other. And that's a whole topic. I could do a whole teaching on it sometime. But the object of our sacrifice changed. It went from a lamb sacrificed over and over to our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, one sacrifice for all. Mm-hmm. And the focus now is on Christ, but obedience has always been the same, hasn't it, Sister Amen?
Oh, it has.
Never goes away. It's not unconditional doctrines, unconditional covenant. It is conditional. God gives us something to follow. We have a part to do None of his covenants were ever, ever unconditional. That's another man-made doctrine. So that was an interesting conversation we had. Let me read 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's why I judge myself. That's why I judge my house. That's why I judge brethren. And then he says, if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? You see obedience to the gospel there? It's never been unconditional.
Right.
People think today because Christ came and died that I don't have to obey and he obeyed for me. That's not, he doesn't do your part of the covenant. You must do your part of the covenant.
Right.
That's Amen. To follow and to obey him. So wanted to share that. And I think that's all we have. I wanted to thank everybody for listening in. I know people are enjoying these audios. Tomorrow, we hope, if the Lord wills, to get our second day of the preach up. We got a lot more video, a lot more audio to go up.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have to travel to a new town.
Yeah,
Down the road. We're moving down the road. We're van dwellers. Right. We're nomads.
Yeah, it's a like couple over 2 hour drive, 2.5 hour drive, but we like to stop along the way and see about witnessing. And so it takes a good part of the day.
We love this nomad life. And I know a brother that's living the van dwelling life, getting used to it. And I love what he told me today. Or was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. My days blend when we preach two days
ago. Yeah.
He said that the van life stripped down is peaceful, it's small, it's secluded, and it's simple, and it's helping him focus on the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? That's well said. And that's why we like it, is because we can set ourselves apart from people, but we're out in the world, we have a refuge, it's simple and it's small, we're mobile to be used of God, but it really helps us see no set anchor, we have no city. But we're hoping for an eternal one to come.
Right.
So he's seeing that, the benefits of it. And so that's awesome.
And yeah, we talked about that, you know, making your own world small within this world, wherever you're at.
Amen.
You can do your best to make it small and minimalize it and keep things and distractions unnecessary.
Yeah, you don't have to just do it in van life.
You
can do it. You can do it in any life.
There's always a way to refine something in your life.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So yeah, we're going to travel to another town eventually. We're working our way to our next weekend preach where we're going to go and preach with a brother and hold gospel signs and witness the gospel. But we'll have to see, Lord willing, how it all goes. I could be dead tomorrow.
Oh, I know. We can maybe think ahead. We've got another big event that we're looking at doing a few weeks from now, but we might not even be here for it.
We plan ahead, but we live for today. And Sister Amin, if I don't wake up tomorrow, you can miss me, but rejoice for me.
I will. And you know what? I'm going to go. I'm not going to stop going.
Yeah, don't stop.
I'm going to go.
Don't stop, sister. And I won't either.
Good. I hope not.
We keep the kingdom before us.
You're going to keep pressing through. Yep. For the Lord.
All right. That leaves it right there. Till next time, saints. We hope that you walk circumspect. I like that word.
Yeah, I like that.
I need to look up the definition. I think I know it, but sometime I'm going to look that up.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. I think it means to, we'll talk about
that. Let's bring that next time.
Make a note for that, circumspect, next time.
Yeah.
Walk circumspect. Live and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. His shed blood, death, burial, resurrection. Repentance to him. I'm always preaching it. Be born from above. I preach that a lot today, or the last 2 days. Just born again, born from above. And I explain it to people because it's that image of the Spirit coming down on Jesus. And he was filled with the Spirit at that moment. And we're filled with the Spirit. And we walk in holiness and righteousness, enduring to the end for our God. So live and preach that gospel. But watch out for fake repentance in your life, my life too. Watch out for the false brethren and Satan's workers, because they're out there. There's more of them than there is true brethren.
Oh, right.
Way more of them than there is true brethren.
Amen. Yeah, praise God.
And here's what we can rejoice in. Ready? That God wants none to perish. There's hope for everybody that God hasn't turned over yet. But guess what? In the end, this works perfect. You didn't know I was going to read this one. Works perfect with your verse about vengeance. Let the Lord have vengeance. I'm going to leave you with this, saints. Psalm 58:10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Wow. Psalms really cuts away, I'll tell you, when you read it and see about the goodness and the severity of God. We hope those false brethren, we hope they repent to the saving of their souls.
Right.
But we're striving on, Sister Amin, for the glory of God.
Amen.
and the brethren we know and all the sheep out there that we need to meet just down the gospel road.
Right. Yeah. Praise God.
We love you all. Have a joyous day, morning, afternoon, wherever you are, north, south, east, west. Maybe we'll run across you sometime.
Yeah.
Have a good one. Till next time, the Lord lets us come again.
May God be praised.